Hey guys, just want to let you know the Patreon is up. Check it out, patreon.com/BeerCityMediaPodcast for all your extra Beer City Media needs. Now on with the show.
The Quran states that after the creation of the world and before Adam came to be, Allah created the jinn, a species formed from smokeless fire. The jinn are seen as beings of formlessness, able to live inside all inanimate things and hidden from the senses of ordinary humans. On occasion, they can make themselves whole and visible in any form they wish, but are mostly separated from us. Jinn exist outside of our physical realm, but share a number of similar traits to humans. Firstly, they require food and water to survive. They need to procreate to continue on existing, and eventually, after a long, long time, they die. Even after death, their spirits are subjected to salvation or punishment in the Islamic faith, depending on the kind of life they led. They live in complex societies like our own, with males and females, young and old, believers and non-believers, and are subjected to the same religious dogma. Jinn are, however, strong. They're also very fast, and due to their formlessness, they are free from all regular physical limitations.
Welcome to the Conspiracy Therapy Podcast with Ryan, Larry, Spring Hill Josh, and the Luma Mommy herself, Miss April. And on today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls,
the Jinn.
Larry's in the hidden corner. The Shoops are in the Shoop Kitchen Studio, and yours truly, Rad Dad 2020, is in the Pussy Palace. Been a dry spell, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, this COVID-19 is kicking my ass.
It's the Pussy Palace, like tall guys are called tiny.
Yeah, I guess. I guess you could go with that.
I was going to say, right now, it's just the penis palace. But that doesn't sound right either.
Well, I mean, we do have a lot of gay listeners, so that maybe they're hoping I'd turn the other side, which is fine. I guess I could pretend like I'm gay for a minute, but I'm not. Sorry.
Be nice to it.
Well, I try to be to my own. But anyway,
fuck it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm back. I'm ready to go. I'm raring to go. This was a Ryan suggestion, so I thought this was a pretty fascinating
thing. But he leaves the show so he can get any choice he wants.
That's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we need to pull the Thunderbird to the side of the road.
Mm-hmm. Been so long, I forgot where the Thunderbird was. There he is.
All right, fellas. And lady, if you had a genie and he gave you three wishes, what would they be?
Are these like no limitations, or are we talking like
Don't talk yourself out of something.
Can't bring anyone back from the dead. Okay, you're right. You're right. You're right. Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying a genie pops up out of a bottle and says, hey, you got 3 wishes.
Okay. Oh, boy.
You want me to go first, or does anybody want to throw it
you're
out
the
there?
You're the host.
Yeah, you delegate.
You go first. Or Jesus. You say who goes first.
I thought I went through the spanking machine a few times last week, but now I'm going to go through it on live. okay, yes. Yeah, so
with
my
great
first
power
wish,
comes great responsibility, my friend.
Thanks, Uncle Ben. Now you die.
Now you're, yeah, I was going to say, you're talking comic books to me, which is speaking to my heart. All right. Wish number 1, world peace. Wish number 2, a lot of money. Wish number 3, I want to be able to fly, because I think it would be fun.
Oh, nice.
I mean, those are generic, basic things, but yeah, I mean, I want world peace. I want things to calm down. I guess instead of world peace, I might substitute that with COVID-19 goes bye-bye, so things can go back to normal.
Right.
Is number one, but I guess that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Who's next?
I don't know. You're the host.
Okay.
I'll go next. Jesus. All right. I would say my first wish would be for there to be no more endangered species of animals.
Okay.
They would all be protected. And like the ones who are on the endangered list, there would just suddenly be like enough of them for them to not be on the endangered species list. My second wish would be that every time I opened my wallet, there was exactly the amount of cash I needed for whatever I was buying. So like if I was at the grocery store, exactly my total, or like, you know, if I had to really whatever I had to buy, if it's like a house or a car, I would just automatically like, burp, I open my wallet and the money's in there.
Now, for restaurants, would that include the tip?
Yes, I think. Yeah. Yeah, it would. And then, God, my third one. I would say for my third one. God, this is a lot harder than I thought it would be. I'm taking this way too seriously. I would say I would like to be able to talk to animals.
Ooh, nice.
Fun.
No. She didn't come over last night, Chewy.
Josh, what do you got?
Okay. For me, my first wish would be that both my boys grow up and they are successful in whatever it is they strive for, whatever makes them the happiest. Mm-hmm. My second wish would be for my our own personal never ending, always ready to rock and roll Chinese buffet.
Ooh.
Okay, I like it.
And then, let's see, my third wish would be for...
These rangoons are crunchy, eh?
Oh, they're my best, the Canadian rangoons.
My third wish would be, and April's going to roll her eyes, would be for an Ernie...
Ernie Ball Majesty bass guitar.
Bass?
Regular guitar.
I'd play with a guitar, firstly.
Yeah,
He wants the Geddy Lee bass.
Yeah, I'd love a Geddy Lee bass, but my wish would be for the Ernie Ball Majesty guitar.
Understood. Lawrence.
My number one wish would be to stop all animal abuse. I'm so sick of seeing those fucking commercials on TV that make me cry. That would put an end to it. And with ASPCA dog being beaten with a shovel fucking videos anymore.
Yep.
Number 2 would be to end poverty. And number 3 would be infinite wishes, bitches. I have all the wishes for the rest of my fucking life. All right? Game the system is what I would do.
Yep. Good call.
Well, Larry broke our game, Genie.
I feel horrible now. You guys are like, oh, poverty and animals, and no more Sarah McLachlan.
Josh is like, Chinese food.
Josh, don't worry, because I got your back, because I've got unlimited wishes now.
Yep. Larry's giving away wishes.
Yeah.
He's wiping his ass with wishes. He can do whatever he wants.
Unlimited toilet paper.
I don't even remember mine now. I'm just like, yeah, I said I wanted to fly, so that's cool.
No. I want to talk to animals.
Oh man!
I have some things that I want to say to the squirrel that comes on our back patio just to piss off my dogs.
Hey, leave my dogs alone, you fucking nut you. Chopper!
I'm pretty sure that like if he had a name, it would be like Chad. He seems like a real Chad.
A Chad squirrel.
Yeah,
Chad the squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
I still love him though. It's okay.
You love all animals. You guys are animal lovers. Every time I come to your house, you got like. Hey, we just picked up this snake. It's totally cool. Just coiled around our fucking kid right now. I think he's trying to give him a hug.
I'm the one who said, and animal abuse, but they're the animal lovers. Okay, I get it, Ryan. Right.
Shame.
Yeah.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we've got to get into information here, but we have divided this whole thing up a bit, you know? Mm-hmm. We actually are accepting responsibility between three different parties. Larry's going to arm the ones and twos, and we're going to go through the whole shebang bang when it comes to the gin. Now, I knew about this, and this was something I wanted to cover because obviously I've seen Aladdin and I'm a fan of the concept of having wishes. It's kind of like the lottery. It seems super elusive and no one's ever going to actually find it or get it, but... At the same time, it's fun to talk about. So April's going to head us off with a little bit of the beginning information about said gin.
Yeah, I was able Ryan. To look.
Sorry. I was going to say Ryan yes. loves gin, but he doesn't anymore.
Nope.
I don't drink
Ryan
liquor.
I'll cut
loves,
this out of the show.
Ryan loves LaCroix.
I do.
LaCroix and only LaCroix.
I love sparkling water that gets the name of a fruit whispered in the same room.
It's like the fruit just kind of came into the water. Just yeah. a little, like a little pre-cum.
Mm. I do a lot of pre-cumming in my days. But anyway,
no one ever posts the gin.
That's true. Things you think about during quarantine. Anyway, wow. So I did a little bit of research on the gin. It's something that I had kind of known about just from pop culture. The gin specifically, like I knew about genies, but I didn't know that the gin was like the same thing or a different word for it. So I wanted to look into sort of the early history and the etymology behind the gin because I think it's really interesting. Jinn are supernatural creatures in early pre-Islamic Arabian and Islamic mythology and theology. So this was more of a religious thing at the beginning. So they are believed to be born neither as believers or non-believers, but their attitude depends on whether or not they accept God's guidance, hence why they are both good and bad jinn. So basically what they are born or created... And they have the option based on what they believe. If they accept God, then they are good. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, these are like the malevolent bad jinn that you hear about. So
well, excuse me, sir. Is this, has this jinn that I'm going to be ingesting, has this accepted the Lord?
Why, yes, my child.
Jesus okay, turned water then. Into jinn.
All right.
Exactly. Yep.
Does anybody actually, now, I know we're talking, I apologize, April, but does anybody actually like gin between the four of us?
I like gin and lemonade.
It tastes like fucking Lysol.
It is very piney. It feels like it's
very piney.
Tequila too. Yeah, it feels like tequila of like white southern gentlemen's.
It's got a very sprucey taste to it.
Yeah, gin is like the flavor of if you chewed on a Christmas tree.
Yes. Yeah, that's pretty much perfect.
Like, if you just got, like, a big pine needle salad.
I'd imagine that's what
Santa... And sprinkled in some fucking juniper berries.
That's Santa's cum.
That's gin. Santa's cum.
That's gin.
Miss Claus, I got a real Christmas tree a-poking here. I hope you appreciate all the gin I'm gonna release.
And he tinseled all over her face.
Pretty much.
I had it once and I didn't care for it.
I've had it before. It's not my favorite.
What was this Christmas party I didn't hear about?
Josh went under the wrong mistletoe.
Or the right one.
Yeah, that's true.
It was a white Christmas for me.
I guess it was.
April 14th, sorry.
An elf. Yes. An elf yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're knee level. It just makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, God. Since they are neither really good or evil until they decide that for themselves, the Islamic faith was able to adapt spirits from other religions during its expansion. So when Islam sort of took over, they like kind of grabbed bits and pieces from all different kinds of religions to sort of make theirs happen.
Also like Christianity.
Yeah, pretty much. Now, that being said, jinn are not solely Islamic, as they are pagan beliefs that have been integrated into other religions. So there's a lot of debate as far as where, like, what religion the jinn originated in, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Now, as far as Islam is concerned, the word jinn is used both to describe any supernatural creature and describe a specific supernatural creature. So, like, a jinn can be a jinn, or a jinn can be, like, a demon. It's a very, like, loosey-goosey term that can be used sort of as an all-enveloping supernatural thing or one specific supernatural creature.
Yeah, I appear in all religions.
Yes. Satan, do you drink gin?
Tons of it. Gin and juice. Snoop Dogg's my homeboy.
Laid back.
Laid back with my money on my mind and my mind on my money.
Absolutely. Now, generally speaking, in folklore, jinn are responsible for misfortune and diseases. So a lot of times you talk about a jinn, it's like for a bad reason. They did something Corona. Super shitty. Yeah, right. Jinn gave us coronavirus. And actually it had been mentioned before that they were the cause of like mental health problems.
Oh, really?
So like, hey, if you have something bad happening, just blame it on a jinn. But they occasionally are regarded as good guys who are like super supportive and benevolent. So it's a very broad spectrum of they represent.
They seem to do everything.
They're kind of like a WWE superstar who like turns heel and then turns face, I guess. I don't know.
See, I'm just very heavily reminded of just mankind in general.
Yeah, and that's a lot of what I read into.
Wrestler.
Oh, now he's Cactus Jack. Now he's a bad guy.
Exactly.
Oh.
Dude Love, forget him.
True. In the Islamic world, they are summoned and bound to a sorcerer, but can also be bound to animals. So like imagine like Chewy and his pet jinn just running around causing
mischief.
Can you
imagine that though? Larry, like your little poof like animated creature dog just walks up to you and it's just like bark, bark.
Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, huge like pterodactyl bone just appears in front of him.
Bacon. It would be bacon.
It would be bacon. It would just be
tons of bacon. That's his favorite.
So you get all this bacon in front of you and you're like,
but
Chewy?
He eats it and he occasionally gives me a piece this time.
Yeah. That's only fair.
Yeah,
I feel like that's probably right.
He growls at you when your hand goes down towards it, and then you like back up a little bit, and then after like he eats like 95% of it, he just throws a little bit on the ground and walks away.
Pretty much it. Yeah,
like the real fatty pieces, not even the good ones.
Yeah,
Just like the grizzly bits.
The flop, the little floppy bits.
Yep. It's only
floppy bacon.
It's only after Larry lays down on the floor and kind of looks at him.
You kidding me?
Gives him sad eyes.
Sit, stand, lay down, roll over, paw. And then I get a piece.
That's right.
Yep.
Go to work, make money, give me some sort of dog food. Also, cook your food and give me big portions of it.
Yeah.
You want to buy meanwhile, So really, Larry is just Chewie's gin.
Pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, wow.
I guess until Chewie turns Larry into like a big, like animated version of Garfield, it's because he's like, fuck it, I want to chase a cat around.
I hate Monday.
Right.
Yeah, he does so not accurate. Like Bagel does not. My cat Bagel beats the shit out of Chewie. She does it in a playful manner, but Chewie is not like it.
Oh, poor guy. Oh, man. Okay, so I wanted to kind of get into the etymology behind the gin. Etymology is something that I've always been really interested in. I had a ninth grade
teacher.
Don't
they serve
teacher.
That at sushi places?
Yeah, it's delicious. Really great with a little bit of soy sauce. Great dried as well. It's a wonderful bar snack.
It's like a peanut.
Yeah. So when I was in ninth grade, I had the worst teacher of my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And you know how you have like the teachers that you remember because they're amazing, and then the teachers you remember because they're awful?
Yes.
This was my teacher that I remember that I was awful. She hated me because she had my dad when he was in high school.
No shit.
And he recorded something. I forget who it was. He recorded like White Snake over her Julius Caesar like audio tape. Like I went into that class. Yeah, I went
Your
into
dad
that class
was that guy?
Already. Yeah, I went into that class behind the eight ball. So she already didn't like me. Aww. She actually marked me down on a paper for being too creative.
What the that is fucked
up. She was
up.
Awful. But what? That being said, the one thing that I did learn from her is she was the only teacher that made us do like Latin and Greek root words.
Okay.
Which I actually found to be very interesting.
Okay.
And so like etymology is something that I really like. That's really all I was the only right. place I was going with that.
For those of us who are dum-dums, can you define the word?
Of etymology?
Yes.
It's like basically where the word comes from. It's like the history of how the word came to be. Yeah, the root word.
Thank
or
you.
Like tri is tricycle, triangle. Tri means three.
Thank you, because I'm dum-dum.
That's okay.
We love you anyway.
So
yes, things in threes, like
penis.
Indeed. That's a tri-dick, if anyone was wondering. So the word gin is an Arabic collective noun that derives from the Semitic root of Jan, I think. I'm going to mispronounce so much here, but that's okay.
My name is Jan. I'm here to shop today. I've come to this Target to find some dollar deals, but also maybe if you want, I can make a triple dick or grant a wish.
Sounds great, Jan. Jan is Semitic for...
I thought you said suck my dick.
Semitic.
It comes from suck my dick.
My dick.
You all, yes,
suck
you all
my
can.
Triple dicks.
Comes from suck my dick.
It works every time if you say it confidently to your partner. Suck my dick.
After 20 years, not so much.
It comes out like this. Suck my dick. Please. Sorry.
Oh, God. Anyway, Jan means to hide or conceal. It's sometimes interpreted as literally beings that are concealed from the senses. So basically, they are
ghosts.
Visible. Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Other cognates include Majnun, which means possessed or insane, Janna, which means garden in heaven, and Janine, which means embryo. So all of those sort of similar words in Arabic relate to different parts of what a djinn is. So they right. think that that's kind of how it came to be.
Okay.
Now, no one is actually sure of the origin of the term djinn. There are disputes that include it's Latin, it's Aramaic, it's Persian, it's Avestic, or possibly even Zoroastrian from Iranian mythology. Like, this goes back a long, long ways.
It does. It predates... It goes back to like literal like stone cutter, like way back machine. Like dinosaurs are just like, I rubbed this ramp. I don't understand. I get no rushes. Like, excuse me, are you an Asian dinosaur? No.
That's the Snortosaurus, by the way.
Sorry. That was my racist dinosaur right there. That's okay.
Oh, boy. Okay, so the more common term, the one that we're more familiar with, genie, is borrowed from the French gine, from the Latin genius, who was a guardian spirit of... people and places in the Roman religion.
I asked for 3 wishes and I tried to find out where's my last cigarette. There's no way that you are unable to grant me this. Jan, I think is your name. Jan, you are the Target shopper. Yes, yes. Target Jan, is owned by the French, right?
Yes, Jan is great. Brennis. She's the greatest Brennis I've ever seen, yes. Jan is greatest.
I have nothing left to say. I'm going to throw myself from this cliff because I am sad and I am French.
That's it.
I mean... yeah, that's pretty accurate. Genie, the first appearance was in the 18th century translations of 1001 Nights from the French, where it was applied to describe benevolent intermediary spirits. In contrast to malevolent spirits of demons. So in Assyrian art, creatures somewhere between humans and gods are called genie. So they're sort of like demigods. Would that be sort of a kind of sort of they're like they're human enough that they live and behave more human.
They live and die like humans.
Right. But they have abilities like gods.
So it's like they're like Tom Brady.
Right. Exactly.
Accurate.
That beautiful set of teeth and all.
Yeah. A really good looking, good at whatever.
All djinn have very nice teeth. Now,
great at hitting the underneath pass.
Patriots.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, boy. Now, the origins of the belief in djinn aren't clear. Some Middle Eastern scholars believe that they originated as malevolent spirits who lived in deserts and desolate, dingy, unclean places and who actually took the form of animals. So, like, if you find a bad djinn, it's probably somewhere gross. Like,
oh God, this is my cousin Jan, and this is my cousin Jan. Unfortunately, it's not named after the colorful liquor that I love to ingest.
If you give my cousin Jan enough money, she'll grant all your wishes. I'll tell you what. Sexual wishes, of course.
Suck my dick.
Suck my dick.
Oh, I found an old bottle of Copenhagen. I rubbed that thing on sure day and the thing come popping out.
All right, hold on. Everything stop. Hold on. The music stop, everything. Did you just say a bottle of Copenhagen?
Do you know how tobacco works? Or like
This is a friend pull over moment. I just want to make sure that you're okay.
I just can't get over the fact that his redneck voice sounded so much like Bill Cosby.
It was not redneck at all. It was definitely black gynecologist.
Yeah.
I know a thing or two.
That's a president. That's not a gynecologist.
Oh, with the chopping hand to boot.
First Copenhagen.
Oh, I was on that my way home when I picked up a 2-liter of Colgate. I did.
My goodness, my Copenhagen comes in a plastic baggie.
You know, I got excited. Sorry. I thought I had a good thing going.
I got a Camelback, a Marlboro's here. Don't mind me. Yeah. I love you to death, Josh. I do. I'm sorry.
My can of smokes.
I mean, this is where I love smoking beer and drinking cigarettes really comes from.
Yeah, exactly.
It's clearly a family issue.
It is. We don't understand things, okay? We use spoons on our anuses. We use forks on our eyes and knives on our tongues.
Smoking beer and drinking cigarettes.
Don't we all?
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
I think, yeah, like smoking beer and drinking cigarettes, Bottle of Copenhagen might become a song.
Please, I would listen to that.
Honestly, when he said that, I almost dropped the mic. I was like, wait, guys. Guys, did I just have a seizure? I need to make sure that this just happened.
God damn it.
It's okay. I love you to death. You know that.
Ooh. Oh, that's beautiful.
It'll be isolated all perfectly for Larry.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Bottle of Copenhagen.
I just can't. I can just picture the Tiger King singing to that, too.
Yeah.
This is going to be the next George Thorogood song.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yep.
Drinking beer and snorting coke. Kicked my dog in the face. Now I'm lighting my wife on fire because she didn't clean up this place.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, all right.
I hate myself.
No, it's beautiful and I love it. Ooh, all right, so... Back to the djinn. Others claim that djinn are pagan nature deities who became marginalized when other deities took greater importance. So, like, they took our jobs, essentially, is what happened.
Our jobs.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, ever since djinn and Jan showed up, everybody's job's gone away.
Goddamn.
I got a job. It's called standing around talking shit. Where can I get that job?
I was fine until the southern, you know, I don't want to say Mexicans, but Mexicans took my job.
Sorry, demon.
Oh, God. Jeez. Djinn had been worshipped by Arabs during the pre-Islamic period, but unlike gods, were not considered immortal, which is, I think they sort of brought that up in that clip at the beginning, is that they... could die and did, and they had to procreate just like humans did. Some argue that angels and demons were introduced by Muhammad to Arabia and were on a totally different timeline than the djinn, so that like angels and demons and djinn did not coexist at any point.
Interesting.
There are others that say that pagan Arabs knew about angels, but that the term djinn was used loosely to describe all kinds of supernatural entities, which I had mentioned before. Now, pre-Islamic Arabs believed that a whole society of djinn existed in several tribes and groups, and that some natural events were caused by them, like storms. That's another thing they mentioned in that clip, is that they lived, like, they had little societies of djinns. So, like, a whole, like, a djinn community, which I like to think about, because I feel like that would be,
yes.
That could be like a...
I live in a community as well.
It could be like a primetime comedy. Yeah, like,
we play bingo every Tuesday night.
The djinn condos, yeah. They also believe that the djinn could protect, marry, kidnap, possess, and kill people. So the djinn held a lot of power.
They're gangsters.
For these pre-Islamic Arabs. yeah, so I guess my ending thought before I am done with my turn here is, now if you guys could be a djinn, like, if you were born as a djinn, like I had mentioned before, they decide whether or not they're going to be good or evil.
Right.
Depending on if they believe in a god. Would you be good or evil? Would you be a bad djinn or a good djinn? This is kind of like choosing if you're a heel or a face.
I mean, I'd be good. I mean, I'm just, that's how I'm wired.
I would be good as well.
Yeah.
Fuck it, I'll be evil.
Yeah, that must be a Shoop thing, because I feel like I'd be an evil one, too. I just, like, the thought of... but I would be, like, a...
Chaotic neutral?
I would be a chaotic neutral, where I did stuff like turn people's toilet paper to go the opposite direction, So you keep like rolling the roll and you can't find where the toilet paper ends.
That's more prankster than evil.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like, you're probably right.
Like, to actually do bad to people, I don't think I could do that.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think I could do that either. I would just be like an obnoxious, like,
prankster. Yeah, like sure, I could see
chaotic
that.
Chaotic neutral.
God yeah, damn it,
I would
it,
fall
Jen.
Into that. Just chaotic neutral.
I went into our porta potty and somebody done flipped the toilet paper in the wrong way.
Okay, the people who now they put the toilet paper on the outside, they clearly don't own pets.
Yeah. I don't know. Even though we have pets, I have to have it coming over the top, nope. though. I don't like the surprise of it hanging down the back.
My cat will totally unroll that thing. That's what I've learned.
Good God.
If it's on the inside, she can't unroll it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, as April started, I'll mention the jinn are mentioned approximately 29 times in the Quran. In Islamic tradition, Muhammad was sent as a prophet to both human and jinn communities, and that prophets and messengers were sent to both communities. Traditionally, Surah 72, named after them, Al-Jinn, is held to tell about the revelation to jinn, and several stories mention one of Muhammad's followers accompanying him, witnessing the revelation to the jinn. So this is part of the Quran.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Islam. Which, if you're an Islamic listener, so, assalamu alaikum. Mm-hmm.
I'm vanilla ISIS, so.
Yeah. In the story of Solomon, they appear as nature spirits comparable to Talmudic Shadim. Solomon was gifted by God to talk to animals and spirits, which is a power that April wishes she had.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
What do you think that monkey's saying right there?
Fuck, I should have never put this banana in my asshole.
He's saying, fuck, I shouldn't have put... Okay, mark that.
It's marked. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, wow. My new mixer actually has a mark button. If I hit a button, it actually marks on the tape exactly where I need to.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Oh.
Okay, so on top of the Solomon being able to talk to animals, God granted him authority over the rebellious jinn and devils, forcing them to build the first temple. In other instances, the Quran tells about pagan Arabs calling jinn for help instead of God. That's a false idol there. The Quran reduced the status of jinn from that of tutelary, the bad deities,
totalitarian
to that of minor spirits using paralleling humans.
Mm.
There's a persona for
sniff that COVID-19 right up.
Nagundari Dree?
Yep. In this regard, the jinn appear often paired with humans to assert a strict monotheism. In the Islamic concept of Tu'id, all affinities between the jinn and God were denied. Thus, jinn were placed parallel to humans, also subjected to God's judgment and afterlife. They are also mentioned in collections of canonical hadiths. One hadith divides them into three groups, with one type flying through the air, another that are snakes and dogs, and a third that moves from place to place like humans. Now, in the classical era, and this we'll do before we take a break, although the Quran reduced the status of jinn from that of tutelary deities to merely spirits placed parallel to humans, subject to God's judgment in the process of life, death, and afterlife, they were not consequently equated with demons. So they're not quite demons, not quite angels, parallel to humans. Interesting. So when Islam spread outside of Arabia, belief in the jinn was assimilated with local belief about spirits and deities from Iran, Africa, Turkey, and India. Early Persian translations of the Quran identified the jinn either with Paris or Divs. What does that mean? So Peri are exquisite winged spirits renowned for their beauty, and Divs are monstrous creatures in Albania, Armenia, Iran, and they're bad. So it's like angels and demons is another version of that.
Right.
depending on their moral behavior. However, such identifications of jinn and spirits of another culture are not universal. Some of the pre-Islamic spirits remained. Paris and divs are frequently attested as distinct from jinn among Muslim lore, but some, both div as well as jinn, are associated with demonic possession. So a jinn, while a human, according to God and Satan, basically can possess you.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Why would you do that?
For funsies.
I get it. I get bored too. Are you bored during this? Are you bored during this pandemic, sir?
Yeah, I mean, we still recognize social distancing down here. So, you know, we mark on the floor of this hell. Every 6 feet, there's a X on the floor. You know, like,
that's really responsible of you.
Well, you know, when the president calls, you answer.
Christ.
He's my man, you know.
So, Morocco has many possession traditions, including exorcism rituals, despite the fact that jinn's ability to possess humans is not mentioned in canonical Islamic scriptures directly. In Bethlehem, oral beliefs, the jinn form societies beneath the ground. Envying humans, they frequently ascend to the surface, causing sickness to children, snatching food, and taking revenge when humans mistreat them.
Wow.
Some jinn are nevertheless benevolent toward humans, teaching humans a moral lesson. So sometimes they're Mr. Rogers. Sometimes they're upset. Maybe they throw some pop caps at your kid and they say, "Well, yeah, you're in a nice suburb, but what if you got shot with a gun, kid?" And they go back into the ground, I guess. So, in the modern era, and this before we take I promise it's been a long episode and I didn't think it would be so long, but there's a lot of info. And I guess what, the pop culture minute is going to be a pop culture month.
Right.
Cause we got a lot of stuff to cover in the second segment. So we're going to talk about now in modern Islam, in the Salafi, they tend to refuse reinterpretations of jinn and adhere to literalism, arguing the threat of jinn and their ability to possess humans could be proven by the Quran and Sunnah. However, many Salafis differ from their understanding of jinn from earlier accounts. Fatwas issued by Salaf scholars are often repetitive and limit the scope of all their answers to the same Quran verses and hadith quotes. So this is very religious stuff. Without further investigating the traditions associated with and missing any reference of the individual experience, by that, a vast amount of traditions and beliefs among Muslims is excluded from contemporary theological discourse and downplaying embedded Muslim beliefs as local lore. So it's kind of like the ridiculous parts of the Bible and the ridiculous parts of the fantastical points of, I know, gotta be careful.
That was an accident.
The fantastical points of religious scripture were, especially in the modern day, we try to kind of facilitate that a different way or make come up with different reasonings for why they talk about the fact that you can't eat fish for this certain time or why it's illegal for you to sleep with your wife on a Sunday.
You have it wrong. You can eat fish. You can't eat meat on a Friday.
Yes. Well, it's been a minute since I've been to Sunday school is what comes up when
that's only a Catholic thing. Because, true. Because we're so fucking weird. You can molest kids, but don't eat meat.
Plus, it's kids' meat.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No. All right,
oh, my God.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Josh's segment, a verdict, and your mail sack from the month.
You're going to grant me any three wishes I want, right?
Almost. There are a few provisos, a couple of quid pro quos.
Like?
Rule number one, I can't kill anybody.
Yeah, so don't ask.
Rule number two, I can't make anybody fall in love with anybody else.
Mwah! You little punim there.
Rule number three,
I can't bring people back from the dead. It's not a pretty picture. I don't like doing it.
Other than that, you got it.
Provisos? You mean limitations on wishes?
Some all-powerful genie can't even bring people back from the dead.
Taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6 foot apart. I wish I was like 6 foot nine so I could get with Leo. She cause she don't know me, but yo, she's really fine. You know, I see her all the time, everywhere I go, and even in my dreams, I can scheme a way to make her mine. Cause I know she's living fat. Her boyfriend's tall and he plays ball, so how am I gonna compete with that? Cause when it comes to playing basketball, I'm always last to be picked, and in some cases, never picked at all. So I just lean up on the wall, or sit up in the bleachers with the rest of the girls who came to watch their man ball. Dag y'all, I never understood black, why the jocks get the fly girls, and me, I get the hood rats. I tell them scat, skittles, kabobble. Got hit with a bottle, sit in a hospital for talking that mess. I confess it's a shame when you live in a city.
Second segment time, back on the interwebs with your favorite podcasting family as we delve farther and deeper into the djinn, or the genie, if you will, for you Midwesterners out there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wish for a casserole.
What kind of casserole you want there, Jan?
Oh. Ranch.
Ranch and chicken and cheese.
Bacon.
Okay.
Oh, lots of bacon.
What's your favorite casserole? Go.
Tuna fish casserole.
Okay.
So good.
Ooh.
I haven't had it in a while, but man.
When I do a casserole, I always want, other than like your cream of mushroom or whatever the basics, but it's always going to be a potato base.
Okay.
Boy, that's a tough one. Only because my entire catalog of recipes is all just casseroles. I have like four kinds of casserole dishes. I have like, this is my fancy casserole dish for when we have people over. This is the casserole dish that I use when it's going to be a beef casserole. This is my chicken casserole dish.
Her recipe book is just Campbell's soup can labels taped onto a page.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That was my grandma's.
No, I'd say if I had to pick, I haven't made it in a really long time, but I make a chicken tortellini casserole that has chopped up chicken breast and three cheese tortellini and like a really cheesy cream base. There's no cream soup in it, and onions, and it's just really delicious.
Thanks for vaping into the microphone, Josh. I love having to edit that out later in the show. So much fun.
When you do this magical casserole, can I come over for dinner, please?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Definitely.
I'm excited. Josh, I hear pray tell that you might know of some pop culture. So how about you enlighten us, my friend?
It's time for the Pop Culture Minute with Josh. Sonic Boom!
This has its own Wikipedia pages for pop culture, so forgive me if I miss one of your thousands of different ones that you guys want to hear.
Yeah.
Broken up into separate categories, so I'm going to start off with books and comics. First and foremost, a book by Andrzej Sapkowski called The Last Wish. Those of you who are familiar with it might know this is the Witcher. And in the book, the Bard Dandelion unwittingly unleashes a malevolent air genie called a djinn. It's what connects Geralt of Rivia with Yennefer. Great story, great book. I love it. So, definitely a good one. Another popular novel, 1949's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. Mr. Beaver tells the children that the White Witch is half djinn and half giant. Hmm. Have you guys ever read those books?
Yeah, I did when I was young, like fourth or fifth grade, I think.
My dad actually has the complete works of that series. Nice. I don't know if that's what it's actually called, the whole mm-hmm. series, but very, very good. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Another book that's in a series, Jinnicky, the Red Djinn, is one of the Ruth Plumly Thompson's original Oz characters. Of course, we only ever got The Wizard of Oz, but fans will know that that is just a part of a bigger series.
Nice.
That we never saw anything else from. And he appeared in multiple books. Now, this one's kind of speculation, but for all you horror fans, Stephen King's Christine, it is speculated that the supernatural force inhabiting the Plymouth Fury is Ifrit, which is created when the original owner's daughter choked to death in the car. Great book. Now I'm going to move on to comics, cartoons, and TV. By far, one of the best representations I find is in the Dragon Ball series. This is separated between Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. There is a character in there named Mr. Popo. And he is a genie-like entity who works for Kami, who's like the god, if you will, of the planet Earth. He watches over it. He makes sure everything's going the way it's supposed to go. In the later in the Dragon Ball Z series, there is a character named Majin Buu, who is stylistically dressed up in Arabic garb. And interestingly enough, Majin is the Japanese word for magical being or genie.
Oh, nice.
Buu himself can reform from smoke and clouds and utilizes transmutation sorcery to transform living beings into candy to sate his monstrous appetite. And finally, when it comes to wishes, look no further than Shenlong, who is the dragon that appears when all the Dragon Balls are collected. And when you do this, you are granted a number of wishes, depending on what planet you're on. So, yeah, that's it for Dragon Ball, though, I swear. there's an episode of X-Files called, oh boy, I'm not going to be able to pronounce this, Zuhati, in which a man awakens a genie who grants him three wishes, but always uses loopholes, resulting in often disastrous outcomes for the person, much like the story of the monkey's paw.
Oh, okay. Nice.
For all you kids out there that shouldn't be listening to this show, there's a show called Fairly Odd Parents on Nickelodeon. I actually enjoy the show because it's fun. It's about a little kid named Timmy Turner, who has his own fairy godparents named Cosmo and Wanda. And it's zany humor, but there was a reoccurring character on there named Norm, who is voiced by Norm Macdonald. And he acts as a djinn.
I love Norm Macdonald.
Yeah, I like him. He's funny. And of course, we can't talk about all this without talking about Aladdin. I'm sure you've seen it. It's great.
Aladdin who?
It had three movies. The first one, by far the best one. Speaking to Larry's love for, our secondary love for basketball, there's the 1996 film Kazam, starring Shaquille O'Neal playing a rapping genie. And he lived in a boombox.
Nice.
Not to be confused with Shazam. But, and then, yeah, of course, there was last year's TV show, The Witcher, which you guys, I mean, I'm not going to explain that again, but it's the TV show. I highly recommend this show. With music, you guys know about Christina Aguilera. That's how we started this whole thing. The death metal band Nile have a song called The Howling of the Djinn, which references the evil djinns as a malevolent and spiritual force.
I like that band.
Mm-hmm. I legit like go through phases. I can listen to them for about 10 minutes and I'm like, this is cool. Then it gets kind of old quick.
Pretty much.
There's a South Korean pop band called Girls' Generation, or SNSD, and they have a song called Tell Me Your Wish, or Genie, and it's of the same, the album is named the same thing. I actually love this song. I love this group. I don't know what it is about that. There was that big explosion of Korean pop music, but mm-hmm. that was the one band that I was like, yeah, I actually like this.
Yeah.
So... And finally, in video games, there is Calypso. And I think I've talked about him in an episode, like last episode or the one before that. And Calypso is the figurehead who runs the Twisted Metal tournament. And if you win, you get a wish. And if you, when you go to make that wish, he always twists it and it becomes horrible for whoever won the contest. And finally, in Final Fantasy... there is the popular summon Ifrit that has appeared in multiple Final Fantasy games.
Nice.
And that's it.
Thank you, Joshua. You filled us in on all the pop culture stuff, and I appreciate the brevity because there is a lot on there. I'll also mention on the side, the Wishmaster movies are really fun, and those are about djinns.
Mm-hmm.
If you like a good, fun 90s gore fest, which yeah, that's for certain individuals. But anyway, let's get to our verdict. Yes. In one corner, Robin Williams. He's not dead. He's blue.
I'm still alive. I didn't ever hang myself.
Oh, Jesus Christ. In the other corner, four podcasters.
His face was blue.
Who will always come together in season four. To tell you what they think about this thing. We have to ask ourselves, do we actually think the djinn or the genie are real? And I'm going to go to whoever wants to go first about the djinn / genie.
I'll go first. What's interesting about this is that if you are a very religious person, this is something that you would probably... be kind of on the line about, because mm-hmm. it's been in so much religious scripture. I'm gonna say no. I wish I could say yes, that would be awesome, but mm-hmm. unfortunately this is a negative.
I mean, yeah, I get that. April?
Yeah, it's a no from me too. I just think it's a good way of explaining bad things that happen.
Lawrence?
Yeah, no. Yeah, sorry. Makes no sense.
I mean,
okay.
No. I'm saying I agree with what you're saying as well. No, they're not real. I guess that's the thing. I mean, yeah, I guess it could be based on some sort of religious context, but that's it. That's your verdict.
Yeah.
It's interesting because with this specific episode, I would be curious to know, like, if there, what percentage actually believes it? Because I remember reading somewhere that like 86% of people in America believe that there are angels,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. I'd be curious to know like what the percentage is when it comes to like an evil, because I think the Quran / Muslim religion is the most prominent religion in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be curious to know like how many of them actually believe that.
For sure. It'd be interesting to see how that translates to modern times and how much of that has carried through. Because like you had said, there's a lot of what we take from like Christian text and sort of like, well, they didn't mean that specifically, and sort of use it and translate it the way that it fits in best for modern times. It makes me wonder, you know, how that translates from the Quran and if they still believe that any of that is true.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, it's this is not necessarily a fan vote, but it's the end of the month episode, so we have a mail sack.
Mail sack.
All righty. You guys ready?
Oh, boy. Yes.
I'm about to unload my mail sack on you guys.
Not in my...
John Hodges asks, if any of you were to run for president, what would your campaign promises be? Mine would be no more dumb shit.
I would do the reverse of what we're used to. I would delete my Twitter. I would delete all social networking. Mm-hmm. And I would literally just have occasional fireside chats a la like the Roosevelts.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And just basically be like, hey, guys, I got it locked down. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's all coming back.
Yeah.
I guess my campaign slogan would be like, don't worry about it. Don't think about it. You're fine.
Yeah.
So your promise would be, don't worry about it.
It's fine, guys. I got it. Don't it's fine.
I promise not to do it.
I didn't do the bad things.
Right. The thing that I did, I didn't do that thing.
That sex tape's not real. Don't ignore that.
Oh, it's real. I've seen it.
Yikes. I think mine would be like, Shoop 2020, bitches in charge, and I would have a female running mate, and like I would appeal to women across America by providing free feminine hygiene products, and I don't know, I would just send every woman chocolate when they're on their period.
So your promise would be to send chocolate to women on their periods.
Yes, that's my plan. Hey,
I think my wife would get behind that.
That's what I'm saying. If someone was writing like that and was like, hey, look, I'll send you some, and it has to be like quality. None of that shitty Nestle. Ooh. No, it has to be good chocolate. If I saw that, I'd be like, hey, she's got my vote.
Yeah, I get it.
Mine would be,
oh boy,
I'll listen to the scientists.
Sounds smart.
I like
Simple
that.
As that.
I dig it. Yep.
All right. Dan Watson asks, if you had the chance to announce that we had found alien life on another planet and they were just as advanced as ourselves, how would you announce it? Ryan.
I would say they're not as into anal as you think.
Josh.
How would I announce it? I don't know. I guess... Twitter post. I don't know.
A Twitter post.
April?
I would say, guys, they seem to really have their shit together over there. Anyone coming with me?
Mm-hmm. I would have I would have a band do it at the halftime show at the Super Bowl.
Any particular band or just...
Who did Bags Bombs Over Baghdad?
Outkast.
Outkast. I have the Atlians do it. Why not, right?
Perfect. I love it.
L. Pete asks if you could snap your fingers and make one person on the planet alive today completely unable to lie or avoid questions, whom would it be? And no one can pick the same answer, so you have to each individually pick a different answer. Ryan, you go first. You're the host.
David Bowie.
Hate to break it to you, Ryan, but David Bowie is dead.
Josh.
I'm actually having to think about this. This is tough.
Emily.
This is so easy. If you could pick one person who is alive.
I have two answers. That's why I think it's easy.
If you could pick one person who's alive and snap your fingers and they have to tell the truth. Donald J. fucking Trump.
No. I thought you said they had to be dead. Or did I mishear that?
It clearly says only alive today.
I thought you said that they'd come back alive.
No, the word dead never left my lips.
I'm a piece of shit. Okay.
So April. Okay, yeah, so we Donald got Trump. Ryan picks David Bowie, who is dead. April picks Donald Trump.
Then I will pick, I don't know, Vladimir Putin. I don't know. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Hillary Clinton.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I
want to
know
too.
That body count.
Yep, for sure.
Okay, next up. Somebody named Melissa Shoop Rhodes asks, well, I am just wondering why you have not invited your mom, me, and Josh Shoop's mom, Teresa Chiron, as guest speakers yet. I think we could provide you, the listeners, with real perspective on many levels. I think we should include my mom in on that conversation as well. And April's?
Yes.
On the mom podcast coming to Patreon soon.
The momcast.
Yes.
The momcast.
Oh, boy.
Stan Burr Jr. asks, after all this craziness has died down, do you think movie theaters will exist in the same capacity, or will we be watching new releases from the couch, Ryan?
I think a lot of people are going to be watching new releases from the couch.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Josh?
I think it's going to be a healthy mix of both.
Okay. April?
Yeah, I'm going to say from the couch. I think once people realize how much money they can save by staying at home, and how much nicer it is to watch movies with no pants on. Like,
I'm going to say we're going to go back to normal. I mean, I know it costs more, but I don't give a shit. I want to go out. I want to get the expensive popcorn. I want to get the dumb fucking barrel of pop that I shouldn't be drinking because they're going to cut my fucking foot off when I drink it. There's something about the experience of going out just being out. Especially after we've been bottled inside for so long.
Yeah.
I'm with you, man.
But who knows?
I'm with you.
I would not be surprised to see I'm actually surprised we haven't seen the drive-in movie come back into style.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
It might after this. That.
Okay. Janessa. Oh, God. I forgot how we pronounce it. Is that Fraish?
Fraish.
Fraish. Oh, I got it right. Hey, Janessa, I got your name right. We all know 2020 has been a shit year. Yeah, right. If you had the option, would you press the redo button or just live and learn? That's a good question.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay, Josh.
I guess the reason why I wouldn't, even though the death has been horrible, I don't want to make that seem like it's nothing, because it really is. But what I like seeing is the good things that people have been doing for each other, and the way that the world is starting to heal a little bit. People the people that are good are doing better than I've ever seen before, and I love seeing that.
Ryan?
I'm gonna side with Josh on this. I think it's when you can have something like this happen and do some sort of a growing exercise, I think it's important. I think it'll make things better, actually, because I think sporting events are going to be more kind of camaraderie based. I think It'll be less about the scalping tickets and being aggressive about making a profit, and more about just the live experience.
April?
You know, as much as I am inclined to agree with you both, I would probably push the hard reset. This has been really, really fucking hard. Mm-hmm. And if I had a chance to get a redo and start this all over and avoid coronavirus at all costs, mm-hmm. I absolutely would.
Okay. I'm going to say reset because I think there are over 60,000 people's families who would agree with me because they've lost someone.
Yeah.
Death is not cool. I, you know, I have a family member who's being affected by this. Yeah, this sucks. I hate being stuck inside. It blows.
Yeah.
Matt McShooterman asking the important questions as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. Joints, bowls, bongs, or blunts? I'm a bowl guy, but can roll a very nice blunt. Ryan.
I vape.
Josh.
Water bong.
Hmm. April.
Bowl.
Yeah, I'm a bowl guy too. Only because I made one or two hits and quit. Mm-hmm. I like that feeling of just getting the buzz.
Mm-hmm.
I hate being stoned. I really do, because I feel like I'm out of control then. Mm-hmm. I love smoking a joint, but that's like, okay,
that's a lot of
Sunday
commitment.
That's when I know I have a set amount of time where I'm not going to do anything. Then I'll smoke a joint.
Yeah.
But that's a commitment. You are so right. L. Pete asks, the pandemic has opened our eyes to a number of things. Is there anything in particular that has kind of blindsided you during quarantine? For Pete, it's wondering how stay-at-home parents with young children don't all become raging alcoholics.
Well, fuck, surprise, I'm a raging alcoholic. I've been hiding it from everyone. Although I gotta tell you, going back to the other question, if there's one thing that I do appreciate from this quarantine, is that I think a lot more people are taking stay-at-home parenting seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Spending time
and
with their
teaching.
Kids. Yeah, and teaching, for sure. And understanding, like, the things that we go through every single fucking day. As far as things that surprised me, I guess I didn't... Like, we're pretty homebody people, but I guess I didn't really realize how much I missed going out with my kids. And just enjoying sort of social interaction and letting them go run around and be free. Like being stuck in here with them and seeing them have to suffer through this is worse than my own having to suffer through this.
Right. Ryan.
Fuck, man. I mean, it's sucks, but I guess for me, it's just made me more cognizant of the fact that, like, all these liberties, all these things can just go away in a flick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. Josh?
For me, and this is going to almost look like I'm backpedaling on what I said before about the good things I've seen. We've also seen a lot of people do some horrible things,
which would make sense for as far as being blindsided by it.
Yeah.
As he put it.
It's insane to watch the videos that constantly appear on my Facebook feed of people screaming at one another,
at the cops.
Yeah, everything. Everyone knows what's happening in Michigan these days, and it's almost embarrassing.
Yep.
That's vanilla ISIS.
Yeah, right. There. No kidding.
That's the white terrorist.
To see that, I mean, and to watch the videos of people at grocery stores fighting over toilet paper and these things, like, you see a lot of good, but you also see a lot of bad. Mm-hmm.
I guess the one thing that blindsided me was that it's we can't imagine what it's like to be in control right now.
Mm-hmm.
And what's blindsided me is the difference between the governors and the president.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The way the reaction has been is so it makes me appreciate how our government is set up.
Mm-hmm.
How the president can do or say what he wants, but ultimately the states have their own rights.
Right.
It has made me appreciate states' rights so much more than, you know, a national kind of ruling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad we have states' rights and our governors can make the correct decisions.
Yeah, it's not just like a one size fits all.
Yes.
President lays down the law and that's it.
That is what really kind of blindsided me was this kind of states versus federal. You always heard about it, but this is the first time I've really experienced it.
Yeah.
L. Pete asks again, if you're sick, what comfort food do you crave? It's got to be something that was made for you by a parent or grandparent.
Mm.
For me, hands down, my mom's chicken soup and pastini soup. That's L. Pete's.
Nice.
He liked the chicken soup and the pastini soup. Josh?
I don't really have one. There's nothing I crave when I'm sick.
Nothing your parents ever made for you?
Yeah.
No.
Not just grandparents. Drinks a lot of, like, Powerade.
Well, sick. Well, that and like
Verner's.
Lemon. Mm-hmm. Well, I drink mostly it's a lot of like lemon and honey tea.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
Ryan?
Diet Verner's.
Yeah, it's the Verner's, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
April?
Mine is toast with honey. Toast with butter and honey.
Okay.
Yep.
For me, it's just good old fashioned chicken broth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good comfort. Whatever.
Yeah,
like
for sure.
When I'm sick, just chicken broth.
Yeah.
Just that little fucking salty sodium induced cube you put in boiling water and you know it's no good for you, but it feels good for some reason.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Jen, friend of the show and guest, Jen Chinchester asks, do you think that the aliens have seen our self-destructive behaviors and gotten the hell off of Earth? And did they take their Bigfoot slaves with them?
Ooh.
April, you made the first noise. You go first.
That's the rule now. Whoever makes the first noise.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I think aliens have been gone for a while. They noped the fuck out of here after 9/11. They were like, yeah, this is all a little bit too much for us. So they're off.
They threw their gliding transportation devices into their living quarters / building office places.
Exactly.
Ryan.
I think, I'm with April. I think they noped out. I think, especially even now, if they were sticking around post 9/11, now after they saw what's been going on in all the governments around the world and or seen what's happening with this pandemic, they're like, we can't even get them together at a Kentucky Fried Chicken dispensary. We wanted to examine their buttholes, but I am tired of rectums. Let us go spork knock.
Josh?
If those aliens are real, they have seen humanity fight each other over thousands of years over dumb shit. Yeah, I wouldn't want to stay either.
Yeah.
I don't believe we have exactly visited your planet yet.
I honestly think had aliens been here, we'd be their fucking slaves by now.
Yeah, probably. Mm.
That's why I don't think they visited Earth yet.
Mm-hmm.
There's also when you like you see from country to country, you have to get fucking this like array of shots to go visit a foreign country because you'll catch some sort of fucking disease. I remember when my parents went to, I think it was Mexico, Central America. They had to like get this array of shots
so
they wouldn't die when they got there.
Yeah.
So you're talking into planet shit. You're talking, you have no idea what kind of viruses or bacteria exists.
No kidding.
I don't think, you know, they might not think of it as a good risk.
Yeah, that's very true.
They might, here's a thought. They might not be as advanced as us.
Yeah.
That's a crazy
twist. I think
there's
life out there, but I don't know. We might be the most advanced. I mean,
it's possible.
We did invent the game Jeopardy. I mean, come on.
True.
These humans invented guts and double dare. We must evade.
L. Pete, man, that man has a lot of questions. What with all the negative press Michigan has been getting lately with the would-be arrest if they were armed in the state house in any color but white. I agree with you, Pete. L. Pete. What is something you would love about Michigan and would want to share with us? Ryan.
I would say that Michigan has some of the most beautiful lakes and forest scenery around. One of the good things about it now is being a single dad 2020 is that the dates I've been able to go on has been a lot of hiking and scenery and social distancing in that aspect. But yes, you get the opportunity to see the amazing beach frontage property we have around here, which also happens to have the Sleeping Bear Dunes and all those things. It's a lot of fun.
Josh?
Yeah, I got to piggyback off that because when you go to northern Michigan, it's nothing but beautiful scenery.
April?
I would have to say... I like to think that the people, I mean, outside of the ones that you see on TV are all pretty genuinely nice.
It's like 50 people.
Yeah, it's they really give the rest of us a bad rap.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like as a whole, people from Michigan are pretty welcoming and genuine. Oh. Like we just want some
Shasta.
No, we want burners. We want Faygo. We want our Faygo and our better made chips.
Something soup.
Yes, absolutely. We're all happy. We all just want to camp and hang out and I don't know.
I'll agree with Josh and Ryan with the beaches and whatnot. We have some of the most beautiful beaches in the world. Yeah. But if I had to say something, you know what? We have some really good sports teams here.
Yeah.
We have the Pistons. We have the Tigers aren't very good, but, you know, we have the University of Michigan. We have Michigan State. We've got some good sports teams to follow. The Red Wings have been pretty good. I mean, back in the late 90s, early 2000s. Skylar Tibbs asks, what would go on in the Church of Karen?
Oh, boy.
Josh looks like he has something to say.
You know how every church has like that daycare in there, right?
The nursery. Mm-hmm.
The nursery, yes. At the Church of Karen, they have their own barber shop. So that way your hair is always on fleek.
Yes. To get that perfect Karen cut.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Ryan?
That Church of Karen all has a coupon cutting Tuesday.
April?
They do communion every Sunday, but instead of just one sip of Christ's blood, it's an entire boxed communion of Christ's blood.
I think the Church of Karen has the workshops, as they call it, on how to complain about whatever's going on in here.
Oh, yeah.
It teaches you how you can complain to people who make less than minimum wage and live on tips, how to make their life hell.
Yeah. And there's like a reverse confessional where you go in and talk to the priest of the Church of Karen and tell them all the things that other people did wrong this week.
All right. I have to let Chewy out real quick.
Okay.
But guys, mine.
Go ahead.
We'll just keep recording here.
Sure. Okay. I was going to say the Church of Karen also has a stern bottom lip. It's unflinching.
All right. We'll keep that. Yeah. Sorry, Ryan. I should have had you go first. My bad.
You're funny.
All right. Stan Barr Jr. asks, olding living mammal on the planet, no repeats.
Wait, can you read that again? That didn't make any sense to me.
Olding living mammal on the planet, no repeats. I mean, you can Google that shit. Stan, Google it.
We're
not going to answer it. Just Google it.
A fish sort, I would guess.
The fish would not be a mammal.
Oh, fuck.
April.
Wow.
A fish is not a mammal. Oh.
This is why Josh and I are married, is because I have those mammalian fish and Josh has his jar of...
his bottle.
Oh, yeah, his bottle.
Dave Audrey asks, what guide would you choose to escort you to which afterlife?
Hmm.
You know what? I'll go first on this one.
Okay.
Jenna Jameson to the... to that afterlife where you get the 72 virgins. So I can disappoint 72 women at once.
Oh, perfect.
Ryan?
I want Mr. Rogers to take me to the afterlife because I feel like it's, first of all, I'm going to feel like, oh, I did the right...
Which afterlife?
The heaven or whatever. Okay. I'm picturing heaven.
Yeah.
I'm picturing him walk up and he go, well, Ryan, you did a good job. You did all the podcasts. You said some bad words, but that's okay. You didn't mean it.
Would he do it with puppets?
Yeah. And then he could show me puppets and I would just sit and eat sour gummies and Diet Coke and I'd be happy.
Josh?
I guess I'll go with the Christian afterlife as well. Mm-hmm. And for me, it would be Bob Ross.
Ooh, okay. He is very soothing.
Because he's not going to yell at me for all the horrible things that I've done.
Mm-hmm. What?
He would tell me in a nice way.
Stop. What have you done? One thing that is that horrible, Joshua?
Well, if you go by the Christian belief, I've done a lot of horrible things.
Like what? Name it.
Premarital sex.
Okay.
I've disobeyed my parents many times.
He did a lot of drugs.
I did a lot. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not
murder. Murder would be
right,
bad.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I haven't.
Stealing would be bad.
Mm-hmm. Dealing drugs?
Stealing. Hey,
that's capitalism. Oh. That's capitalism.
I've stolen stuff before, petty stuff, but.
Okay. But that's stealing. Yeah. That's kind of bad.
So, I mean, by the Christian belief, I've done some bad things. I haven't murdered anyone. So, but Bob Ross, he would not yell at me. He would just tell me calmly that I did some bad things, but I hopefully did some good things.
It's because Bob Ross was on acid, I think.
No, yeah. I actually just did the research on this the other day.
It was a joke.
Oh. Well,
actually, your joke is an...
Well, this is a fun accurate fact, actually, because I looked into it, and apparently he used to be in the military, and he was a ranking officer.
Marine. Is he still alive?
No.
Then he was a Marine.
And
once a Marine, always a Marine.
Amen.
And that was his thing. True. He was an officer, and after he got out of the service, he's like, I yelled at people for the worst things, and so he vowed to never raise his voice again.
Interesting. Did everybody answer that one?
Yep. I did not.
April.
Nope. I would be escorted to hell by the entire cast of Jersey Shore. And when I got there, they'd all go, "Party's here." And then we'd all just do shots of Ron Ron juice.
Jim Laundry Tan. That's what I say.
Yeah.
L. Pete, my goodness. If you could pick any TV chef to be your personal chef, whom would you pick? April, I think you...
Elton Brown.
Other than me, are the biggest like TV chef fans.
I would have to say Elton Brown.
Yeah, I get it. Josh?
Guy Fieri.
Ryan?
Which one makes the best pocket pepperonis?
What I don't know chefs. That's the problem. Is if I say a chef, I'm just going to say Chef Boyardee.
Yeah. Perfect.
Beautiful.
I'm
going to
go with Iron Chef Alex Guarnaschelli.
Ooh, yeah, I like
her
too.
Chef Anne is a close second.
Mm-hmm. She just got engaged, by the way. Fun fact: I follow her on Instagram.
Which okay, in a moment of honesty, Aaron and I were like, "What? She's straight?"
Yeah, had that thought too. Not gonna lie. Yeah,
okay. Good for her. Yep. Either way. Mm. Oh, L. Pete.
Jesus. If you could
learn a language to speak fluently, which would it be? And any particular reason? Ryan.
I think it would obviously be Spanish.
Okay.
Because so many people speak it. And it's just, it seems like when I hear certain words, I know it. I just don't.
Mm-hmm. Right. April?
Russian. Because I heard the government pays well for people who are fluent in Russian.
Probably a good idea. Josh?
Yeah. I'm going to go with Mandarin.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Because it is the number one spoken language on the planet, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
That would be kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah, I gotta agree with Josh. The way things are going, Mandarin seems to be the right answer there. Mm-hmm. And finally, Kalia J, you get the chance to own any movie prop mask costume you want. Which one would you choose? Man, that's a good question. Ryan, our horror movie resident expert, Josh, close second.
I would say Indiana Jones's hat from Raiders of the Lost Ark. Mm.
Ooh, okay. That'd be a really good one.
Would you wear it?
Yes.
Or hang it?
I would. Ooh. Well, there would be a few times I would. It wouldn't be like I would wear it all the time. I would walk out and be like, don't
touch it. Don't fucking touch it.
Yeah, exactly. Right? No. And then I would slowly like reverse walk back to my room and like put it in like a glass case with like laser beam sensors all around it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Josh?
I am going to go with the original mask for Predator.
All right. Ooh,
that'd be cool. Ryan. That'd be really cool.
Would you wear it or hang it up?
Oh, of course I'd try it on a couple times, but I would probably display it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. April?
Gosh, that's a really hard one. I would probably say... I feel like I'm thinking of a lot of one, but the only one that comes to mind right now is the Book of the Dead from the movie The Mummy with Brendan Fraser.
Right.
I really like that movie, so I guess I would go with that. And obviously I can't wear it, but I would keep it out and displayed.
Right. I would go with the robe from The Big Lebowski.
Nice. Would you wear it?
I would wear it once and drink a White Russian.
Of course.
And then I think I would display it after that.
Nice.
Nice.
All right, my friends. Guess what? That was the mail sack.
Oh, the sack is empty.
It's been 4+ years. These things will get longer and longer, I assume. And that was a lot of fun. Thanks for sending us the questions. Join our Facebook group.
I love those.
Mm-hmm. Those are so fun.
They are fun. It's nice to connect with you guys. And also...
For vanity reasons, right. I like it.
Hey, man, at least you're honest. Most podcasters aren't. So I appreciate that, Larry. Anyway, we have ended the episode.
Yeah.
We have told you about the certain subject. Next week, we got another subject coming at you.
What is it? Do you know? Do we know yet?
I know what I would like the next subject to be.
Okay, we'll talk about it off air.
Yeah. I don't want it because we get a little.
I hate to put you on the spot.
Right. Well, no, I would have. I almost said it too when you said that. I was like, oh, I know what it's going to be.
Yeah. I think I have an idea, but we'll talk about it off air.
Yes.
Sounds good.
We'll surprise you, listeners.
Ooh.
Mm. But thank you for listening. Thank you for joining the Patreon, which has been great. And thank you for being just a fan.
Thank you for hanging out with us.
Yes.
Let us know how you're doing on all the social media devices and things and accounts that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to know that you guys are okay.
It's
been a long, shitty pandemic.
I can't wait till it's over.
Yes.
I want to hang out with people and go out to dinner with people and go to movies with people and go to ball games with people.
And just sit at a bar and drink a tall two-hearted and then slam a Caesar salad and be like, hey.
Yes. Yeah, I've done that with you. It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
I just want to play Uno in person with Larry.
Yes.
That's his favorite game.
Uno and Dos.
I know. I really want to play.
That'll be so much fun.
You still look pretty.
Thank you. I shaved my head and I look good. Ryan has a great haircut. You managed to get one from
Josh's mom.
Josh's mom. And she did a great job. I wish I would have known that before I shaved my fucking head.
I didn't know about it until my mom texted me and said, you know, your Aunt Teresa can cut your hair. And I was like,
Well, it'll grow back. Whatever.
Yeah. You look good. You're like a young Bruce Willis.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Hey, man. You know I got your back. So, hey, guys, gals, it's time to end this episode. Does anybody have anything they want to throw out there before we end this bad bear?
Asshole. Play with my asshole.
In the butt. I was a decent really catcher. Fun. Nolan Ryan, put a finger in my butt.
In the anus.
I bought a dildo.
Casamimi.
Josh, butt sex. You had a lot to confess the there. That was intense.
Feces.
We knew you were into pegging, but god damn. Is that the noise?
I remember I have this labeled perfectly. Josh told a joke, and then immediately after he told the joke, this happened.
It's like I'm listening to a Prince song.
Oh, God.
Dude.
Ooh, you could sample that on some of your music, Larry.
Yeah, I mean,
it sounds like I don't know what cartoon it was. It had like a laughing dog, but that was the sound it made.
It was like a Hanna-Barbera dog thing.
It was a Hanna-Barbera dog for sure.
It sounds like Jump Around.
Yeah.
The beginning of
jump up and get down.
Oh, Lord.
This to say that you're welcome. We didn't have Josh.
Spoiler.
Man. Spoiler. Just in case someone tries to spoil something, you say
spoiler.
I just love being married to this man.
I think your tire is a little low there, fella. But yeah, we're going to have to pull over and put some air in that tire. Yep. Anyway.
It's like the drill
Josh,
of the
we
dentist.
Love you.
Oh, God, I got to fill in this cavity.
I swear, it sounds like some dog from some cartoon I've seen before.
All right, well, hey. We'll see you next week on another episode of the Conspiracy Therapy Podcast. Get your teeth checked out.
With so much drama in the LPC, it's kind of hard being Snoop D-O-double-G. But I somehow, some way, keep coming up with funky ass shit every single day. I got bitches in the living room getting it on, and they ain't leaving till 6 in the morning. So we gonna smoke an ounce to this, cheese up, hose down, while you motherfuckers bounce to down the street, smoking indoor, sipping on gin and juice.
Lay back,
gin and juice.
Lay back!
With my mind on my money and my money on my band.
This has been a presentation of Beer City Media.